Hello, and welcome to Moonwise, a monthly podcast featuring conversations with women of power. I'm your host, Dorte Sophie Royal, and in this episode, we bring you my conversation with Joanne Omea Cohen about working with flower essences. We talk about connecting with the spirit of plants, opening our five senses, and healing with nature. We also discuss awakening to the priestess path, motherhood in the time of a pandemic, and the transformative power of asking great questions. I want to send a big thank you to all of our Patreon subscribers. Every contribution helps to make this show possible. Please join us at patreon.com/moonwise, where I'm sharing herbal medicine guides, a recipe for my favorite calming tea, and lots more. And for those of you who have been missing our monthly lunar forecasts with Susan Lipschitz, we're teaming up again to offer virtual new moon circles over Zoom. Each gathering features astrology updates, writing prompts, herbal insights, and a guided meditation. The next one will be on the new moon on September 17th, so stay tuned for information about that. Okay, on with our show. Joanne Omea Cohen is the founder of the Woman Rising Mystery School. She's dedicated to supporting women remember and reclaim their embodied essence guided by the Earth, Sun, Venus, and the Moon. Omea expertly guides women to activate their soul coding and awaken the grace of the great mystery that resides within. Hello, Omea. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm really excited to chat with you about flower essences to start with. It's a whole world that has really opened up to me in the last couple of years. And I actually first came to know your work many years ago at Spirit Weavers Gathering when I took a workshop with you. And in that workshop, you held the space for us to each take a walk in nature and connect with a plant. And I remember that you shared with us that we would like hear the call of this plant. It wouldn't be like just wandering around. And sure enough, I went straight to this very potent thistle plant and sure enough was taught by this plant some very powerful messages that I needed in my life at that time. And what I find so encouraging about this very subtle but also very potent energy of flower essences is that I think it really helps us access communicating with the subtle, like otherworldly realms. So anyway, I'll stop talking because I want to hear your thoughts about flower essences, but I've just been very grateful for that opening in my life.
I love that that's the way that we met. I love that. It's funny because I just last week had a really profound experience with milk thistle. So it's kind of like, oh, just bringing all these pieces together in your share and what I've just experienced. And I think that's just such a beautiful place to begin talking about flower essences, because some women listening may know what they are, some have no idea. And we're kind of in that place with flower essences where I've been seeing over the last 6 or 7 years, more and more women knowing about them, using them, and other women just like knowing that there's some way to work with the spirit or the essence of plants, but not exactly sure what that is or if that exists or what that looks like. And so I just love that piece that you shared about that plant calling to you. And I think that's how so many of us come into our work with plants, is realizing that we do have an innate, inherent connection, obviously, with the natural world. I mean, we need the trees to breathe and they need us to breathe that back out. And there's a beautiful relationship that we naturally have. And it's just, you know, one of the greatest wounds that we have felt separated from that through family conditioning, cultural conditionings. And so the beauty of flower essences, I mean, you know, I could talk about flower essences for days and weeks and months. I love them so much. But one of the beautiful things is that they remind us that we can see, hear, touch, taste, feel the unseen realms. And then, of course, beyond that, what they do as a medicine. So I'm do you want me to share like what they are and all of those pieces?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it would be lovely to dive into what flower essences are for those who don't know. And something that just came up quickly as you're speaking is that in our culture where we're so often focused on the physical properties of things, I think it's so fascinating that flower essences, it tunes us to subtle energies instead of thinking like, okay, what is this leaf going to do for my body biologically? It's kind of like a whole different realm of healing, which I find so beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when I was 19 and went to college, I like stepped into this whole realm of herbal medicine. I was like kind of a typical suburban young woman and fell in love with plants, plant medicine. And as I studied with extraordinary teachers, that was the piece that kept coming for me, is that even within herbal medicine, and things have obviously changed. I mean, that was 24 years ago. So things have changed in the herbal medicine realms. But even at that point, we were still saying, okay, what's your physical symptom and what's the herb that can treat that? And so there was still kind of that Western medical viewpoint of let's treat this. So even though it's natural, it was still working in kind of that matrix. And I just remember for me always going, wait a minute. I think there's something deeper here. You know, why are we just working on what's revealing itself? There's got to be something else. And so that's really what led me into this space that you're feeling of the deeper, 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 deeper places within us that don't often get looked at because we deal with what's at the surface. So flower essences are part of herbal medicine. You know, they kind of fit under this umbrella of plant medicine, and they're the essence, the spirit of a flower. Flower essences are kind of an umbrella term that's not just flowers at this point. It can be trees, it can be mushrooms, it can be stones or gems, but basically it's you're collecting the essence, the vibration, the spirit, the frequency of something in nature. And so that's different than an herbal tea or an herbal tincture, where you're using the physicality of the plant to use as medicine. And so what happens is when you collect the essence of a flower and you ingest it, and these are ingestible and they're completely safe and completely effective. When you ingest them, you're met at your essence. You know, I'm getting like teary right now, but you're met at your spirit. And we don't have a lot of experiences like that in our lives where we are really met spirit to spirit. So, you know, you have a child who's 4, I have a child who's 4, you know, there's a lot of women who say they had that experience with their baby, either in utero or first meeting, or maybe you've had a friend or a lover where you've had that like soul connect, but it's not like it just happens every day. It's a treasure, right? And so we acknowledge those moments. And so the same thing when you ingest a flower essence and you're met at frequency, everything that's not of your truest essence, which is wounds, hurts, conditionings, betrayals, limiting beliefs, all of that kind of gets brought to the surface from the tissues that have been holding all of this in your body, from your psyche that's been holding all of this. And they just get brought up to be dealt with in such a conscious, available way. And only they bring up what your soul, what your spirit is ready to expand into. So people say that they're a subtle therapy because they are in the realms of spirit. And, you know, yes, they are. And the way that I use them and teach them is very clinically based and oriented, and they're not always subtle. You know, sometimes they're bringing up the deepest, deepest heartache that you've tried your very best to ignore and exile and push aside into the deepest places of your body, and they're here. And then you have these plants to work through them, which makes the pain possible. you know, a little less unbearable. And then you're also seeing yourself transform and move forward. And so you know that there's a blessing in that. You're not just like sitting in the stuck of the pain. So they're miracles. You know, they radically alter your life, because trauma is dense frequency. And so when you're ingesting something that's high frequency, that of nature, all of that dense stuff has a place to rise up to the surface. And so I'm saying that because I think so many women have issues that they just feel like that's their issue forever. This isn't going to change. I'm stuck with this. I had this kind of parent. I have this kind of relationship. I have this pattern. But with flower essences, the effect is so radical because they're able to touch into these root places.
I can fully attest to that because I've worked with flower essences that in the very first 1 to 3 days of taking them, I've experienced radical shifts in my being, my emotional state, my feeling of possibility. And what feels so neat about what you're saying is that there's evolution on both sides, that you know, Western science may have labeled, you know, okay, this is milk thistle, this is what it does. But in fact, it's a living being with a spirit that is also evolving and shifting and changing in relationship to an individual even. So what milk thistle could do for me, who knows what it would do for you? You know, it's like that it's so beautiful because it's a relationship. It's not just a taking, which I love.
Yeah, I think I love that what you just presence, because, you know, you can read an herbal book or even a flower essence book, and it has a sentence, maybe three, about the quality of that plant. And, you know, think about yourself. Think about how long it has taken you to get to know yourself and how much more there is. It's impossible to write the description in a sentence or a paragraph of a plant. So yes, you may know milk thistle is for releasing anger and like those thistle-y aspects of self. And yet what it does in you may have just a nuance of that that's specifically for you and your transformation into wholeness.
I love it. And I'm thinking about, you know, when collecting these essences, is there a way in which you teach to make sure that it does feel like a reciprocal exchange or a respectful exchange? Like, do you encourage people to make offerings, or how does that work when you're, opening that up for folks?
Yeah, there's so many layers to that connection because of, again, kind of looping back to what I was saying before of like that wound of separation. And so some of it's just kind of getting the mind out of the way to go, okay, I'm going to speak to the spirit, to the deva, you know, to the fairy of this plant. And I trust that that's real. And so depending on who's doing this and what their processes or experiences have already been, it kind of changes a little bit of how I ask women to orient themselves. I think the most important thing is trusting that there is communication. So when you shared that in that class, I said to you all, you know, take a walk and see who calls you, right? We kind of go like, is anyone going to call me? Am I going to be that only person that no tree or plant calls? And do I even really know if I'll know if a plant's calling? You know, we have just so much in the mind, and we're so connected to nature. And of course we can speak the language of nature. It's the language of love, and it's the language of soul. So the intention, you know, kind of the prayer that we hold, I want to connect with a plant. I want to just sit and be, even beyond like collecting its essence, but I want to just sit and be in relationship with a plant. think it's one of the most powerful practices any of us can do. And I think about this with my 4-year-old son. I'm constantly saying in my head, if he knows nature, he knows everything. You know, it's just hands down. If he has relationship with nature, he always belongs. He always understands his place on earth and that he's meant to steward and preserve. Like, I just think nature education is hands down what children need to get. And for those of us as adults who didn't, it's kind of a reparenting of self. And so here we sit saying, my prayer, my intention right now is to commune with a plant. And some women hear messages, some women see messages, some women feel it deeply in their body. And there's no one way to communicate with nature. It's all right. It's all supreme and beautiful. And so that's the biggest thing I teach is hold that intention. And then, yeah, go out in your backyard or take a walk in the woods and just see, you know, all of the 5 senses sort of turn on in a spiritual way when you have that prayer to connect with nature. And it's really a priestess foundational tool of these 5 senses opening. And you'll see, it's like, oh, the green looks greener and you hear the birds more. And all of a sudden a tree is tugging you to come and sit and be with her or him or it. And then the practice that I teach is attunement. And attunement is really just sitting and bringing your presence, breathing with that flower, with that plant, with that tree, spending time there. Right? Part of why we feel separate and disconnected in the world is we're not present. We don't bring our full attention into our everyday activities. And there's something when I feel into opening kind of the energetic field to communicate with plants, if we don't bring our presence, it feels really disrespectful, right? Like, hey, here I am. I want to know everything. And then I'm just going to like be like on my phone or spacing out. It's not in that field of respect. And so we sit and we attune ourselves, we breathe, we look at the flower, we look at the creepy crawlers around that flower, we see if there's other flowers of that same kind, or is it alone? We like, just like a lover, you know, we take in that flower or that tree, whatever it is, and just really bring it all in. And there's a connection. There's just a connection. And, you know, then you introduce yourself. You can give an offering. It can be anything. It could be a song. It could be a prayer. It could be like your deepest heart truth. It could be tobacco. It could be sage. It could be rose petals. It could be a really dear sacred object to you that you want to offer. And the connection's been opened and you just wait and feel and see and receive and ask questions. If you're just beginning, I would ask yes or no questions. They're usually easier. And if you've already been doing it, you can kind of like, you know, be more expansive in the questions that are asked and the answers that want to bring forth. But mostly the question is, what can I learn from you? You know, what's your sacred medicine? And however long that takes, it might be that you sit with this plant for 20 minutes. It might be 3 hours. You know, it's kind of just depends on your life and time. And of course, in those realms of spirit, there is no time. Like, a lot can happen in 20 minutes in a different way than when you're just in your house doing your daily chores for 20 minutes. So, you know, we kind of want to release time constraints that we carry and just be in the present. And then when you feel the process is complete, you close the connection, you give gratitude, and again, in whatever way. And I always ask, you know, should I come back? Is there more that I, is there more I need, you know, just either from sitting in your presence or more that I've been, more that I need to hear. And, you know, I usually get a yes. And then I close the connection. So just as we open, we want to close the connection. So there's no loose threads. And again, it's just a respectful thing. Just like when you finish a phone call with a friend, we generally don't just hang up. We say goodbye.
That's a really important piece there that I didn't really consider. Thank you for that. And I love that you brought up the questioning and that curiosity and really noticing. And I'm remembering a time when I sat with fennel before I knew some of the properties that it has for supporting the body, and just noticing the shape of the fennel flower and just immediately my mind going to like, oh, that looks like mammary glands, and wow, look how like the energy of that plant is just like shooting up and out like through the flowers. And like I would think like, oh, am I just making this up? Whatever. But sure enough, I go back to a book, and fennel is for supporting, you know, nursing mothers and clearing their, you know, breast ducts, and for, you know, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. We really do, just by observing and, like you said, using those senses, we can learn so much.
And those moments are so affirming, so important, because they make us trust this process. And over time, that confidence just continues to build. And I've had so many experiences throughout the years when I've taught different classes and women have connected to the same plant. And I had this one experience I'll never forget. I was at a huge festival, Lightning in a Bottle. And so there was like 150 people in this workshop, which is not something that I usually have in classes. And I remember we all 150 connected with this live oak that we were sitting under, because I couldn't have them just like walk through the festival. And I remember this woman in the back raised her hand, and she said, she was sharing her experience, and she said, you know, this tree told me her name was Sophia, and she was just kind of sharing. And I looked down at the woman sitting in the front row who starts sobbing, like uncontrollably. And so, of course, I go to her to see what had happened. And she shared that, you know, she has never done any sort of plant connection, shamanic journey work with a plant. And she was kind of like, this isn't, you know, not going to be great and nothing's going to happen. And she laid down and she was in this process. And the tree told her that her name was Sophia as well. And so I know, I mean, it was actually, this woman has kept in touch with me. That was about 7-8 years ago. And her whole life changed at that moment, because she realized she had to trust herself. Like that actually everything that she had been hearing and feeling, and of course, not just about plants, but was true. Sometimes we like need someone else to make real, like to affirm that. And there was no one could have made any, they were, you know, 50 feet away from each other. And that's what happens.
That really makes me think about, and I'm glad you mentioned the word priestess and that reconnection with perhaps our own priestess lineages, or just recognizing that we do have a connection to like a sacred way in which we're tending to the world. And I'd love to hear what a priestess means to you.
Yeah. I just want to say, I know that we as women, like we are so connected. We just forget in this 3D matrix of reality that we live in, where our to-do lists are pages and we never get to the bottom of that to-do list. And, you know, all the ways that we preoccupy ourselves, and I think in those moments when we sit and connect with a plant where there's nothing else there, it's like the pristine truth of who we are is made available. And there's nothing like that. And no one can take that from us unless we choose for them to do that. And that's really important. So yes, it connects into the priestess realms because, you know, women have been leaders of villages and communities really since the beginning of time. You know, we handle a lot of different things. We nurture, we nourish, we know how to multitask. Like we do so many things. And of course, women were the medicine women. Women were the healers. Of course, not just a blanket statement all across the world, but, you know, in many cultures and Native traditions, women were either the curanderas, the shamans, the priestesses alongside of men as well. And they were working intimately with the realms of spirit. And so this is just something that if we all just track back in our ancestral lineage, we will find that woman who was, you know, mixing herbs and making brews and, you know, blowing the spirit of a plant into somebody's body for healing. And that's really the lineage that flower essences come from. That's my belief. I mean, yes, Dr. Bach kind of created this system that it's now in with the brandy, and I give so much thanks and reverence to him. And this is something that cultures have been doing since the beginning, and even still some hidden gems of Native cultures are still able to provide to their communities. So priestesses, if we're specifically talking about priestesses, every priestess had or has a different gift that they bring forward into community. And of course, as women, there's kind of that common thread that we serve, we nourish, we nurture, we love unconditionally, we heal. And so that's sort of like a common denominator. And because priestesses, which, you know, is a very similar being archetype as shaman, is so connected to the spirit realms, basically she is a conduit of heaven on earth. So in her earthly body, as we are, she brings down the divine will of the cosmos, of the heavens, of spirit, into and through her body, and then it gets offered through her specific frequency of power, of truth, of wisdom. And so, of course, that archetype and that woman is rising right now so greatly, because the truth is that women will and are birthing this new humanity here. That's just a physiological thing, that women are the birthers. It is through us that this new world is going to come forth. That doesn't mean we don't need men or men are inferior. It's just the truth of reality that birthing comes through a woman's body. And so this aspect where we bring forth, or we are the vessel or the conduit for spirit to animate through us for the greatest good of all, is essential right now. Really essential, obviously, for many, many different reasons, not just, you know, in this contained experience of the pandemic, but of course, in conversations that are around the Me Too movement and the earth, preserving the earth. And I mean, there's millions of issues in this world. That's why we need women. It's sort of like all hands on deck right now. And the priestess is really here to serve the upliftment of all beings through whatever that is for her. So that may be mothering. That may be, you know, conscious mothering. That may be through work, conscious work. Again, for the upliftment of all, it's not just a personal achievement oriented experience. It's a commitment and devotion for love.
I know that you talk about becoming like a hollow bone in that space of being a conduit. And yeah, I would just love to hear more about your thoughts on that so that, you know, those who are acting in love for life, basically.
You know, the hollow bone comes from shamanic practices. And so whenever I talk about shamanic practices, I always like to give reverence to that lineage. And being a hollow bone means that you literally become hollow. So the mind is sort of like, bloop, is this sort of like gone into the liminal realms for now. It's not practical. It's not rational. And you become like a, like really like a tube, you know, that's totally hollow, so that the energies from the earth of Gaia, the stones, the soils, the plants, the waters, all of those energies come up your body, and all the energies of the heavens, the cosmos, the stars, the planets, the galactic federation come down and pour then down. And they sort of have this, you know, kind, they have this tube really to dance and weave and animate themselves if you choose, right? Because being a hollow bone is a choice. You have to say, okay, I'm entering into ceremonial space now. I'm becoming hollow. And the bone is just, you know, the ancient knowings that we have that are in our bodies, in our DNA, and then of course in our bones. And this kind of ancient mysteries are unveiling themselves right now. I mean, I've had so many visions of us as these seeds of light, you know, that are like waking, that are just getting activated, that are here now at this timeline of humanity. It's like the pace of awakening right now is so rampant in the best possible way. And we've all just kind of been placed here within the divine orchestration. And so I kind of always come back to this place of respect when we talk about the spirit realms. It's like, if we know that about ourselves and we stay in fear of how can I do that? What would that look like? What would my family say? Like all of those things that we ask ourselves, the self-doubt, like that is a dishonoring again. When we turn away from truth, when we turn away from spirit, we choose a relaxing life. And it's really the place where we end up tolerating things and suffering. And we forget that we are co-creatresses of our lives. I know I'm making it kind of sound like more simple than it is, but sometimes it is more simple than we make it.
And it's interesting. It brings up a thought that I've been having recently around a lot of kind of like memes going on in social media around parenting and marriages and things like that, where some, you know, folks are saying like, oh, let's just lower our standards. You know, we're in a global pandemic, the world's shifting, you know, let's just give ourselves a break. And while I fully respect, like, you know, there are people who are truly suffering, having such a hard time. There are single moms, there are people trying to work full time. Like, it is so challenging. And at the same time, I really do feel in my own being that it is a time to step up. It's a time to, if anything, raise ourselves and not just our standards, but what are we actually here to do? And for me right now, I'm parenting a 4-year-old, and it's truly awakening my sense of I am here to guide this being and educate him. And the schools are closed and our external infrastructure is, you know, in flux. And I'm having to turn within and really, really ask myself, like, what am I doing here? And it's not necessarily easy. You know, I've been having dreams from past lives that are reminding me of different dishonorable ways that I've perhaps not taken responsibility for things. And it's just like burning through. And I know others are feeling that way. And I know that we're all growing very rapidly right now.
I think that's the power of this moment, right? Is like, it's not to negate all the emotions and all the feelings. It's just that in our world, we kind of tend to only focus on that. And there's always the both and, right? It's like, okay, anxiety and overwhelm and exhaustion, especially for parents right now, maybe. And then there's also these immense questions that we're given at this moment of, who am I and how do I want to live? Like, what's my deeper, deeper truth in this quiet that I can access? And when we ask great questions, that's where our reality starts to change. And so sometimes it's hard to ask those questions because the answers that appear we don't like. Right? Like there, I was just reading an article that said like the divorce rates are going to skyrocket after this. It's like, we would rather sit and suffer in a relationship that's abusive or just complete than to change. Mm-hmm. And so if we're going to ask the questions, we need to hear the answers. And it takes so much courage then to follow through with the answers that we receive. And what just kind of came to me, and I hadn't really thought about it through this until you said it, was that, you know, there are so many people who are really suffering. Like, I think I grew up in Philadelphia, and so I think about, you know, those single moms in the city who generally are food shopping at the local liquor store. Now they don't even really have the money to do that. Like people who are really in dire straits, and this isn't really a time for, you know, imagination and growth, because that root chakra is just so triggered and real and surviving. And what I just realized as you were sharing is this piece of sisterhood and this piece of like really using the privilege we have, right? So if another woman is totally surviving, this is not her reality, but God, of course she has dreams. Every person has dreams. Of course she wants to change certain parts of her circumstances. It's like, let's do that so that we rise up, and then we get to turn to that woman and say, okay, I got you now. And it brings tears to my eyes. Like, we do this for the all. And we forget that because of our worldview that's so egocentric. So if we have this privilege right now, like, let's use that privilege that will ultimately ripple out to others through our actions, through our service as priestesses. And it's not just about what's happening for self. These questions are like, they're like, we're all having them. You know, I feel like I really know who I am. I feel like I love the work that I do in the world. And I've also been having realizations about what I want to change in my day-to-day life. And I'm going to listen to them. They may not be overnight, but I'm going to listen to them.
Yeah, it feels like a time of really evaluating priorities and what is truly like the essence of what we're about, because there's not really, you know, room anymore to be deluding ourselves, I think. And I really love that piece of sisterhood. And I know there's been times, especially in my early motherhood journey, where I needed to be held by others because I just didn't have it in me. And there has to be someone's arms that you can fall into who at that moment, they're okay. You know, it's just like, great. Yeah, we need each other. That's the other thing that I think is, I hope coming out of all of this is people are really feeling that on such a deep level that we need each other.
Yeah, we do.
I want to also touch on, as we have a little bit more time, about motherhood and weaving the priestess path in motherhood. And, you know, I know we have a lot of listeners who also have young children, and it's a dilemma, it's a challenge, it's a blessing to, I guess, serve the world by mothering. And also, yeah, it can be hard to find the moments to also connect to our inner resources. So I'm curious, how do you work with that?
Yeah, well, it's a really massive question.
Yeah.
You know, I think back on time I used to have, you know, and time I have now. I have a really, really active four-year-old. You know, he's not the type that will just sit and play with himself for a while with his trucks. And, you know, he likes playing with me or his papa and, of course, friends, which he's not seeing right now. And, you know, he's energetic. He's here. He's alive. And I feel like I've had to surrender in so many ways over the past years. And surrender has kind of become such a great teacher. What does that really mean? And how can I be an apprentice to surrender? Because surrender in our world can get taught as just being kind of passive and allowing things to happen. And I don't necessarily agree with that feeling of surrender in my own body. And so the question of like, how do you priestess with a child is kind of both, there's answers for self as mother and then answers of like with child, you know? And, you know, I used to have hours to do ceremony and ritual. Now I may walk outside to my backyard and have 15 minutes, and there's a lot that happens in 15 minutes. And so, I really appreciate and use the time that I have. And, you know, for me, and I think it's so different for everyone, like what self-nurturing is and what resourcing is. And I even have like a little bit of a challenge with that because of the way that our family units are set up. I think it can even just be really hard to just like resource yourself. There's so many things like as a mother, resource yourself and take time for self-care. And that's really hard sometimes. And the idea that we have to be perfect and have all these ways to like self-care, for me, that's just not possible, you know? So that's just my place of surrender. Okay, I see that that's possible for some women and how their lives are set up. It's not quite as possible for me. And so again, for me, what fills me is ritual and ceremony, not so much like baths and whatever, facials. And so I think we all have to find that thing that resources us. So for me, if I go out for a while in my backyard when my son's asleep, even if I'm doing nothing, but I'm being with the elementals and I'm being with my lineage in my spiritual path, that fills me. And then of course, with children, you know, there's so many ways to bring things in. And I want to speak this thing before I forget is that, you know, priestess and mothering is a new concept because thousands of years ago, priestesses in the temples were not mothers. And if they did get pregnant, their child was fostered by another. And so this is a really new time that we're in of how do you priestess and mother? And I feel like we're figuring that out. we're really figuring that out right now. And it's important to have people that inspire you and you can look to help you within that, because we're not just priestess here and we're not just mother over here. We're both and at the same time all the time. And they both fill us in really important and essential ways. And they can both deplete us in essential ways. So, bringing children, like for me, I watch my son's developmental phases and I say, okay, like what can I bring him in? What's he ready for? And so I've always collected essences with him because that's, you know, I get so full with that. And so since he was a baby, we've been collecting essences together and we offer my moon blood together. And like these, there's certain things that I've always just brought him in. And there's also places that I've not brought him in so that I could have my own time. And now that he's four, I'm watching some developmental things where I'm like, oh, I can bring in some other layers now. I want to teach him about energetic protection now. I want to teach him, like, you know, there's just times and moments where we can start to educate, remind, teach our children these very important natural and ancient practices that are going to help their thriving and their leadership in the world.
I'm really excited for this generation of kids and especially boys who are being raised by these priestess moms. And yeah, I just can't wait to see what they will do in the world.
Yeah, I know. My son has like, he's like these two extremes. He's like the most loving, snuggly, thoughtful, like, you know, just still wants to be held and snuggled all the time. And then he's like total warrior, you know, just like, I'm going to take you to jail now. And I'm, you know, just like so wild to see him held in both energetics. And of course, yeah, how am I going to continue to foster that for him? And he has his own karmas and dharma, and it's wild.
I have one of those warrior ones as well, so I can totally relate to that.
It's big energy and so different from the feminine. Actually, I have a lot of friends who are Kundalini yoga teachers. And I remember when my son turned three, a friend said that Yogi Bhajan says at three, the testosterone turns on for boys. And I remember seeing, it was like on his third birthday, I felt like, or like a week after, was like, whoa, we're so different. And there's such a physicality, and it's like, how do we make them, how do we completely accept them for who they are? You know, because so many of us as women were not accepted as children. That's why we want to be the kinds of moms we are. And that's, you know, so many of the flower essences that I use all the time are for healing that aspect of being squashed and being unheard or being misunderstood, and now being here and raising children and not wanting to do that.
And what you said about if your child has nature or an understanding of a relationship with nature, then they have everything. And I just want to bring it back to that because that feels really true no matter what type of personality or characteristics a person has. Like if they can turn to the elements and to nature to guide them, you know, even for me, it's like, I'm going to like cry, but when I'm gone, you know, who does my son turn to? Can he go to the tree, you know, for his guidance? Like that to me is the most powerful thing that we as parents, or at least I as a parent, can share with him.
You know, nature's constant and nature is unconditional. It's powerful.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And for those who want to find more about your work, and I know you have some courses that you share, where can we find you online?
So I run a school called the Woman Rising Mystery School. And at that school, we offer lots of different courses and trainings that are, you know, of the mysteries, really either of the cosmic mysteries or the earthly mysteries. And So you can go to womanrisingmysteryschool.com and we have, you'll see all of our courses. So of course I have courses on flower essences. We have a real introductory course on flower essences. So if your ears have been kind of peaked, like, whoa, I want to learn more about that. It's a 4-week home study course. And then we also have a 5.5-month flower essence practitioner training program, which is obviously way more in depth. And it trains you through my system of really looking at emotional healing through a clinical somatic trauma lens and using flower essences to support that. It's so amazing. We actually just started our 7th program a couple of days ago. And then I co-facilitate a priestess spiral called Priestesses of the Rose that's deeply connected to Venus, kind of as our overlighting guardian. And Venus is, you know, for me, she infuses everything. You know, I feel Venus is the goddess of the flower essences, as the goddess of the earth and the goddess of beauty and mysticism and healing. And so this is Priestesses of the Rose, and it's a year and a day priestess path spiral that is, it's just, I mean, I really don't have a lot of words for the offerings that I have, because they do exist in the intangible realms, and yet their effects in your life are so tangible. And of course, it's different for every woman what happens. Everything can be read at the website. We also have a whole free resources page. So there's ebooks and there's meditations and like lots of things that if you're feeling the call, you can just download for free. And, you know, from the deepest place of my heart, may they serve you wherever you are.
Thank you so much. And I really look forward to continuing to follow your work and personally diving deeper in with flower essences. So thank you so much for everything that you've shared today. It was such a pleasure to be in conversation with you.
Oh, thank you so much. So nice to kind of circle back with you after these years. And thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the show. You can hear other episodes on moontent.co or subscribe to the Moonwise podcast on iTunes or Spotify. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate us on iTunes and leave a review. I read each and every review and appreciate your feedback and support so much. You can also leave a comment on the Moonwise Sisterhood group in Facebook. Our theme music is by Sophie Cooper from her album Rewilding. You can find her online at voicealchemy.com, so go check out her work there. See you next time.